Welcome to the teaching ministry of Dan Olin and Best Life Church. Our desire is for Holy Spirit to open up your vantage points to heaven's perspectives and experience living God in real time. Father really does think you're amazing. Enjoy the message.
If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open them up to the book of Matthew. Matthew. Chapter 6. I thought that was a screwdriver. I'm like, what do you have a screwdriver up here for? It's a candle lighter. Matthew chapter 6. How many know there's verses that you come across in Scripture that, for the most part, we just kind of read right over. And as we're reading right over them, it's like we're patting Jesus on the back saying, yeah, I agree with that. Next. If you don't, by the way, if you don't have the notes for today, raise your hand and the usher will see that you get one. Some of you may have grabbed previous week's notes, but if you don't have it, if it doesn't say part 7, it's not today's. Matthew chapter 6. Actually, let's just go to chapter 7 real quick. Matthew chapter 7. And look at verse 8. It says, and this is Jesus speaking. We know it is because it's in red, right? Everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now we're right in the middle of a series. Actually, this is probably the last week of the core values series that we've been running for quite some time. We're on the very last core value, which is to celebrate God for the abundance of all things. And I thought last week was it, but then he showed me some other things and reminded me of some things. And it fits in with what we're endeavoring to establish as a people. You do understand that doing this thing called church is more than just doing this thing called church. That we're actually trying to establish a culture that is the result of the new covenant because of the resurrection of Jesus. Man does not function the way he used to function. He's been enabled to function a different way, having different connections and being connected with the creator of the universe instead of just running things out of his own head and his own emotions. How many know life is miserable when all you do is run off of things in your head and in your emotions? So, Jesus, understand this, he's saying these things from a certain vantage point. But this is one of these verses, like I said, that we just kind of, essentially, we go along to get along in so many cases because we really don't believe this. Because Jesus said, everyone who asks receives. Last time I checked, we're all part of everyone, right? So, what we need to look at is what was he... This statement is in the context of a whole setting. We can't just take it out of its context and just flippantly read it because your natural head goes, tilt, I don't get that, it's not true for me. But it belongs in a certain setting that he actually began to lay out. We call it the Beatitudes. And it actually started a couple of chapters back. But we have to read things in context because he's saying these things from a certain vantage point. Because if Jesus said, everyone who asks receives, then it's true. Everyone who asks receives. So if we're not receiving, then it's because we either have it in the wrong context or we're trying to grab it with our mind and make it work that way. The fact of the matter, in the Greek New Testament, it's actually better than what it is in the English. In the Greek New Testament, it's in the present tense continuous all the time. So he's saying those who continuously ask are continuously receiving. Those who are continuously seeking are continuously finding. And those who are continuously knocking, they're receiving it being open to them. And it's not a situation where, you know, we're not putting on the bag, because that's the way the natural man looks at it. It's not putting on the bag. He's simply saying this is the environment from which man was created to function when he's connected with him. And in fact, the word ask there isn't the word, like we define ask at all. It's the word that means to require. I'm going to know when you work for a manufacturing plant, those of you that ever have, or any other kind of company for that matter, when you have supplies that you need, what do? You fill out a requisition. You're basically handing a piece of paper to someone and say, I require these parts. And so Jesus is simply saying that the environment that he's used to is one where he makes a requirement and he gets what he's requiring. All the time. Now, he's either smoking something when he said this, because he honestly didn't really think that every human being, the new man, was supposed to have this. Or maybe he wasn't, and there's more to what he's saying here that we need to put two and two together and then learn how to live there. So let's go back to the content, the beginning of where he began this dialogue, back in chapter 5. Go to chapter 5, look at verse 1 says, Jesus saw the crowds and he went to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and began to teach them. Now, I've heard it said that as you're going through chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7, that the crowds are beginning to congregate. But they weren't there initially. So he started teaching his disciples, and then it branched out. And as more and more people showed up, he began to talk to everyone. So by the time he gets to everyone who asks receive, he wasn't just talking to his disciples. He was talking to everybody that was present. Now let me ask you a question. Was there anybody there that was a new creation? No, they were all natural men. But Jesus is still communicating to them, this is the environment that you were created to live in. But he started all the way back here in chapter 5. He says, he saw the crowds and he went up on the mountain and he sat down to his disciples. They came to him. He opened his mouth and began to teach them, saying, now watch this, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know if you've recognized this before, but have you noticed that everything, the only thing in there that's present tense right now is the kingdom? Did you see that? Verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs, doesn't say shall be, is. How come we've preached it shall be? When you die, you can go to heaven. When Jesus said the kingdom is right now. In fact, in this dialogue, it's the only thing that is. Everything else is shall be. Future tense. I know because I confirmed it in the original text. It's that way too. Blessed are the poor in spirit, small s, for theirs is, present tense, continuously right now as I'm speaking to you, the kingdom. And then he closes it off in verse 10. Theirs is, everybody say is, the kingdom of heaven. So the only thing in this dialogue that is present tense right now is the existence of the kingdom right now. Everything else is a shall be or in the future. He says in verse 12, he says, rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is. Not shall be, but is. Folks, part of our challenge is we've read these verses out of our natural head and didn't realize we're reading them out of our natural head. When Jesus got to chapter 7, we call it chapter 7, when he got over there and he says, everyone who is asking on a constant ongoing basis is constantly ongoingly receiving. He wasn't speaking of somebody who's living out of their head. Nor was he speaking about somebody who's living in the shall-bes. He was speaking of somebody who's living in the is. The kingdom of heaven is. Now, notice it's poor in spirit, small s. That means a natural man. Natural man was created to live with a higher nature than he has. When Jesus was resurrected, he gave man that ability to have a nature upgrade. And then he put his spirit on the inside of him. It's like putting a whole new operating system inside of a computer. And that's how man was created to function. Constantly online all the time, connected with Daddy. Jesus did that for us. So Jesus is speaking from that place of being connected to the is. Everybody say this, heaven is. The kingdom is. Right now. Go to verse 13. He says, you are. Notice he didn't say you will be. He says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? If it's no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And then verse 14, he says, you are, not you will be, but you are the light of the world. And then in verse 16, he talks about your light as a present tense thing, not a gonna be thing. And the reason he says, your light, let your light shine before men in such a way that they'll see your good works and glorify your Father who what? Wait, you read it too fast. Your Father who is what? He is. You see that? Does your verse say the same thing? Your Father who is. There's a whole lot of is here, isn't there? How can we turn it into will be's? Let your light that is shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is. Verse 20, he says, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. course, that's the reason the new birth had to come into play, because natural man couldn't produce flawless. But Jesus produced flawless. And he produced human beings that could live deficiency free because of what he did. Now go over to Matthew chapter 6, look at verse 4. So we have to understand, when we're celebrating God for the abundance of all things, we have to live in the is. Please hear me what I'm saying today, please. Pretend like you've never heard this before in your life. The only reason that we run into challenges is because we step out of what is into what could be. That's the only reason. The only reason that we get over into the arena of fear in any of your area of your life is because you step out of the reality of what is and you get over into what could be. And now you're in your head. But Jesus didn't talk from a place of what could be. He talked from a place of what is. He says in chapter 6, verse 4, he says, talking about giving, he says, verse 3, he says, when you give to the poor, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. He says, in other words, don't make it a big scene. But then he goes on to say, let your giving be done in secret. Your Father who, what? What is your Father doing? He sees. Is that in the future or is that right now? That's right now because he is. Right? Everybody say, Daddy is. And then go on, you're in chapter 6, go on to chapter 6, let's go down to verse 9. What's the one thing that we've seen consistent from chapter 5 forward? That the kingdom is. And that Father is. Not going to be, but is right now. So they come to Jesus and the disciples say, hey, teach us how to pray. And so Jesus says, pray then this way. Our Father who is in heaven. Well, if Father is, and he's in heaven, then heaven is, kingdom is. It's not going to be, it is right now. Let your name be sanctified or set apart. Verse 10, your kingdom come now. What has he said prior to this? That the kingdom is, right? Anybody here today? So if the kingdom is, he's saying, pray that the kingdom that is, the word here is literally becomes. Pray that the Father that is, that his name is set apart, that his kingdom that is will become, that his will that is will be done upon the earth as it is, what? As it is. Not gonna be. As it is right now. In heaven. Jesus started out his entire ministry. You have this in your notes, Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. It says, from the time that Jesus began to preach and say, the very first thing he began to say is what? The kingdom of heaven is. He functioned his entire ministry on the earth with the reality that the kingdom is. Not gonna be, but is. Matthew 10:8. It adds this, freely you've received, freely give. What have you received from? You've received from what is. Can you see that? We don't receive from what will be, we receive from what is. Freely you've received. If you go back and read that context, it's exactly the same context as Matthew 4:17 and what he talked about from Matthew 5 up. The kingdom is. Freely you've received what is, so freely give what is. We're talking about celebrating God for the abundance of all things. Well, first we need to, if we're going to be successful in this arena, we have got to make it real to us of what is and live from that place of what is, not what gonna be. As soon as you pull out into what good gonna be or what could be or what might happen, you're over in your own head, you're in your own emotions, and you're gonna go south. We have to train ourselves to live in a God is, the kingdom is reality. Second Peter 3 says this, verses 8 and 9. He says, but do not let this one fact escape your notice, beloved, that the Lord, with the Lord, one day is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years is like one day. And then verse 9, he says, the Lord's not slow about his promise. The only reason we think God's slow about his promise is because we're living in time. And time is not about what is, time is about what is going to be. There's no time in heaven. So God's always speaking from the right now. See, we try to pull out what he's saying from the right now, and we try to put it in the area, we call it chronology. But I heard one minister say this, and I'll go ahead and just promote him because I love him. If you ever get a chance to get anything that Bill Winston's ever taught, get it. But he said something one time about the fact that man was never created to live under the dominion of time. Brother, if you listen to this at some point in my life, I love you. Okay, I'll just say it. But man's never been created to live under the dominion of time. See, time's what puts pressure on you. Right? We have due dates, but this might happen, and everything is geared around chronology, but with God, he doesn't live in the time realm. Everything for him is right now. The lamb that was slain before the foundation of the earth, essentially the lamb was slain before there was time. What's true then is true right now, and it's true in the future because it's still true right now. Now, faith is. Not gonna be. There is no time in heaven. It's all right now. The best that Paul could describe it in his writings is he said in 1 Corinthians 15, he says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And then verse 52, he said, in a moment, he talked about in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The word moment there is speaking of something that can't even be divided. I mean, he's talking to people that have been trained by time, so he's trying to communicate to us the best that he can what the reality of kingdom now is. There's no gonna be. There's no... Just give me 2 seconds. Because that's time. It's right now. Jesus was living from the place of the right now. The kingdom is. Those that you might be poor in spirit, you might not have the new nature, but you're blessed because the kingdom that is yours. The kingdom is, the Father is. It all is right now, because there's no time in heaven. So, but you notice here that he says that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Isn't it interesting? We've read over that theologically and we missed it. Because the one thing that can inherit the kingdom right now is not listed in that verse. But it's really who you are. Man is a spirit. And if you're a new, if you've declared Jesus to be Lord, he gave you his nature, he put his spirit on the inside of you, he reconnected your spirit with his spirit, your spirit can inherit the right now. That's why you can the spirit of man can pick up things in the right now that on the chronology line it hasn't happened yet. But when it happens, they just say, I knew that was going to happen. How is that? Because the spirit of man was created to live in what's right now. When you have the Holy Spirit in you, it's supposed to even sharpen your connection to what is right now. The challenge with this one over here is this guy over here can pick up all kind of mess that isn't even Jesus. And he, because he's ignorant and flying blind, he'll just go with it. He'll call everything God. He'll call anything spiritual God, and he'll just call it, you know, this is... But the fact is you have to have the nature upgrade so that you're getting your information and your input from the right spirit. But your spirit does inherit the right now. Is anybody here today, or have I lost everybody? Deuteronomy 33:27 says this: the eternal God is a dwelling place. I love what the Message Bible says in that verse. It says the ancient God is home. See, this is really what Jesus is talking about. When he's talking about the arena and the environment of everyone who is asking is receiving, he's talking about someone who's asking, who's receiving, because they've made the eternal realm home. They live from what is, not from what would be or what could be or what might be or what might not be. The eternal God is a dwelling place. The ancient God is home and is a foundation of everlasting arms. Can you imagine? Understand that in what is, he holds you by your right hand so that you won't dash your foot against a stone. So eternity is, God is, the kingdom is, his will is. Now go to Matthew 6. Again, look at verse 7. He says, don't be like the Gentiles who pray. They suppose that their meaningless repetitions will get something done. Why are they meaningless repetitions? Because they're not praying from what is. From where God is, they're praying from their own heads, and they're just praying things out in the natural. But man wasn't created just to pray things out of his head. He was prayed to declare what is. Teach us how to pray. Pray, Father that is, cause your name to be set apart, and your will and heaven that is become on earth. We're declaring what is to bring it over into this realm we're living in. Praying this way, Father who is, your kingdom that is, that's here, Jesus said it's at hand right now, become upon the earth as it is in heaven. Your will that is, be done. Yours is the kingdom and the power. And then by the time you get into Matthew chapter 6, verse 22, which you already looked at in previous sessions, he starts talking about seeing through the right eye. Now we understand the context of that verse is if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. The clear eye is the one who is living from what is. I mean, when you spend time with him in this book, he's revealing to you what is. Now faith is the evidence of things that are unseen, that are. So when you are reading this book, and I don't care if you're a natural man, if you're reading it and you hear a message and somebody is declaring to you that Jesus is the Son of God, and the Spirit of God wakes you up on the inside and quickens your spirit, and he shows it to you in your understanding that he really is the Son of God. That process that we call, quote, faith is simply he's revealing to the spirit of a man what really is. Jesus is Lord. So we declare that in the atmosphere, you give him permission to give you a nature upgrade, put himself in you, and then we learn how to live from that place. Why is it that we allow heaven to show us what is, but as soon as we become a new creation, then we start walking in what could be? We're supposed to continue learning how to walk in what is. If your eye is clear, your whole body is full of light. Look at verse 25 in chapter 6. He says, "For this reason I'm saying to you, do not be worried about your life." Why is he saying don't be worried about your life? Because if you're walking in the reality of what is, you're not going to be worried about what could be. Because he's already told you back in chapter 5 that the kingdom that is, and it is yours right now. And everything that is the kingdom, in the kingdom, is yours right now. Look at verse 33. Now when I say the word kingdom, I want you to say that is. See what he's saying here. Verse 31 he says, "Don't worry then, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. Your Heavenly Father knows, your Heavenly Father that is, knows that you have need of these things. But seek first His kingdom." And His righteousness and all these things, literally it says, will become upon you. Seek His kingdom that is. So now we go back to Matthew 7. We find we've started in chapter 5, moved through chapter 6, and now we're in chapter 7 again. And he says, "Ask," in verse 7, "and it will be given to you. Continually be asking, it's continually given to you. Continually be seeking, and you'll be continually finding. continually be knocking, and you will receive it being opened to you. And now here we are back in verse 8. Everyone. So everybody say that includes me. Who is continually asking is continually receiving. The only time when we look at these verses and say that's not so is because you just pulled yourself out of the reality of what is, and now you're walking into your natural head, your natural eyes, your natural ears, your natural mind, and you're looking at what could be. And that's the only time that happens. Because if you're living in what is, then you're going to speak from what is. You're going to pray from what is. You're going to expect from what is. Are you here today? Is this making any sense? See, the only reason we have challenges, folks, is because we just haven't put the time in to make a reality what is. Because when we make it react, when we spend some time and we reinforce what is, then the Spirit of God trains us how to live from that place. So then these verses begin to pop and they begin to be happening. There's so much more I want to get into this, but I can't do it today. But notice at the bottom of your notes there it says, Jesus said this from Mark chapter 11. And again, it's from the same reality we just got done talking about, living from the reality of what is. He said, all things for which you pray and ask, same word. All things which you pray and require, believe that you... Do you notice it says, have received them? But here's how most people read that. I believe that I've received them. They're coming. That's not what he said. Because he wasn't saying anything different here. Read that verse from the place of living from what is. All things which when you pray and require, believe that you've received them. Because they is. And you're living from what is, not from what could be or what you need. You're living from what is. A person who lives from what is declares things that are, not I hope they are. I'm, quote, believing that they are. We just live from the place of what is. So Jesus made that statement, all things which you pray and require, believe that you have received them, or literally, believe that they is. And literally it says, and they will become upon you. How are they going to become upon you? Well, he explained that the previous verse. You speak things. You don't receive from the outside anything contrary into your thought process. Because you're not going to live from that place, you're going to live from what is. Therefore, I tell you, when you pray, believe that you've received what is, and it will become upon you. Why? Because you're speaking, you're expecting, you're living from what is, not... Hear what I'm saying, folks. I'm not talking about living from trying to get something to be. People read these verses and they think that's what it says. Well, I'm going to say things because I'm trying to get it to be. That's twisted. You live from the place and speak from the place because it is. Are you here? So let's just spend time with him and let him train us how to live from the kingdom that is, from the Father that is, from the will of him that is. And all of these things will be created and come upon you. Because we're not speaking things to get things to happen. We're speaking simply from the reality of what is. We're speaking from the reality of what is. So that's why we worship him and praise him for the abundance of all things. Because the kingdom that is, it is. Why should we act any different? Everybody go, woof, woof. It's Christmas. Anyway, go ahead and stand up. Did you get anything out of this? Did you get anything out of this series? Well, if nobody else did, I did. I believe next week we're going to look at some things concerning recognizing what Paul called open doors. He was constantly talking about it. A door was open to me. Jesus talks about doors. I open doors and no man can shut them. So we're going to take a look at those things, and we need to recognize what is a door, what does it look like, and how to recognize when to walk through it. You up for it?
Yeah.
All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just love you and praise you. You're the absolute coolest dude ever. And ain't nobody like you. Thanks for setting us free and putting your spirit in us, making us a new creation. Cutting free the wagon of deficiency and letting it fall off the cliff. Teaching us how to see people with no deficiency. Because we've learned how to see ourselves with no deficiency. Father, I thank you that you've given us the ability to establish this culture on this planet that will lift people, that will bring your kingdom into the lives of people. And we are going to celebrate you for the abundance of all things. Because we want you to advertise in this city. And we thank you for fresh manifestations of the Spirit of God through us in the lives of people. We thank you that your kingdom that is a light to be lit and set out amongst men and not hidden under a basket. So therefore we declare you have full right to our life, you have full right to who we are and what we are. And we just give you praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody agree with that first said. Amen.
Thank you for listening. For service times and other event information, visit www.bestlifechurch.org.